broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride. Oh, yeah.
From the Liberty University broadcast studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, happy Tuesday to you, America. Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us wherever you might be, quarantined from border to porous border across the fruited plain. So, folks, a lot going on this hour of the show. A federal lawsuit was just filed against the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. The mayor over the weekend decided to issue an emergency order banning open carry in the city limits of Jackson, the state capital. We're going to be talking to a state representative from Olive Branch, Mississippi. All of you folks listening to us on the mighty 990 KWAM, you might want to pay very close attention to this federal lawsuit that was filed. And also, our good friend, the president of Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr. He is also the co-founder of the Falkirk Center. He wrote an incredible column that is published on townhall.com. And President Falwell says, what we need in America, we need more bold and tough leaders in this country. And he went out of his way to really acknowledge the leadership of Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, who has come under fierce attack in recent days simply for reopening a state. Well, President Falwell on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Always good to have you on the show.
Always honored to be with you, Todd. Thank you.
Hey, I really liked this column, and I think that you touched on something that we haven't talked much about in this country, and it's this idea of leaders who are not afraid to embrace the tough decisions.
Yeah, I called Governor Kemp. I've never met him before, but I called him the other night, and I just told him how much I appreciated his backbone and his leadership and being willing to stand against everybody and criticism from both sides. And I told him, I said, you know, if everything goes well in Georgia, you're going to go down in history as a hero, as the first politician who had the guts to go against the status quo and reopen America. So I did whatever I could to encourage him. We had a nice long conversation, and he's a strong Christian man. I'm very impressed with him. He's a small businessman, and he was doing well in business before he became the governor. He didn't need that job, but he did it to serve his state, and we need more like him.
You know, I don't know where we went off the tracks when it came to leadership in America, but when, you know, with the onslaught of all the polling data and the surveys, and a lot of people govern, they lead by polls as opposed to their own gut instinct.
It's because they've never signed the front of a paycheck. They are professional politicians, and all they're interested in is the next title up the chain. And that's where we went wrong. And I don't know when that happened, but we got to get back to citizen legislators like our founding fathers said we needed to run this country, who come into government for a short time, lead, and like George Washington, go back to their businesses. And once we get to that point, I think we'll have a different country.
You know, Jerry, a couple of days ago on the show, we had a lady call in. She owns her own hair salon, and she says, hey, look, you know, it's, you know, she wants to be able to go back to work. She wants to open up her business. She's, you know, that's the only source of income she has. And she said what she found to be most offensive is that the government doesn't seem to think that she has the common sense to make sure that her customers and her employees are protected.
Well, I was so encouraged this morning when I saw Attorney General Barr saying that he's considering action against states that go too far in limiting people's individual liberties in their effort to combat this virus. And also, you know, I've noticed that the politics have gotten in the way of the science. I mean, it seems like if you're a liberal, It's the worst thing that's ever happened. There's going to be millions of deaths. And if you're a conservative, there was a video on YouTube. Tucker Carlson featured it last night, where some top experts in California proved with the data, scientific data, 4.7 million Californians that had the COVID, and the number who had died equaled 0.03%, much less than the common flu. And that video was taken down. After I tweeted it, it was taken down by YouTube.
Yeah, Dr. Dan Erickson, Dr. Artin Masihi, and they are doctors at an urgent care. They run urgent cares in California. And
well,
you
know more about it than I do. I just saw parts of it, but I tweeted it. Then I went back and found it somewhere else and retweeted it, but they'll probably take that down too. But it makes you wonder if something fishy's going on, because the science can't be all over the place like that. There's got to be some real data that's not biased. It's not driven by people who want to shut the country down. And I really think the blue state governors who have pushed for shutdowns, I think their states, like Mitch McConnell said, should be forced to go bankrupt. Their credit ratings should be lowered. I think they should pay the price at the polls. And I think that that's the only way to break them from sucking eggs. My dad used to say liberal egg sucking dog is what he called them. But you won't know what that means unless you're old enough to remember that. But
a liberal egg sucking dog.
dogs would figure out how to put a tooth in an egg, suck the insides out, and then leave it in the nest, and nobody would know it happened until the dog was long gone. But that's what liberals are like. They figured out how to suck the life out of our economy without getting blamed for it. And it's just something that they got to pay the price for. I really admire Mitch McConnell for saying they should file bankruptcy.
What are you guys doing at Liberty University to raise up those kinds of leaders that you wrote about in the town hall column?
Well, I've got another piece op-ed in Washington Times today, and it's talking about how the press has completely betrayed the American people, and you can't believe almost hardly anything they write anymore. And we're training our young people to, you know, you have to look at all sides of every issue. You have to consider things that you don't really believe, and otherwise you never really understand why you do believe what you do. And we want complete free expression of ideas. We don't ridicule. Our professors don't ridicule the liberal kid. If a kid has a liberal idea and speaks up in class, they're treated with the same respect as the conservative kids. And that's just not the case at most universities. We've got a little bit more than a week left with some students living on campus. And so far we've had zero cases, faculty on campus, zero cases of COVID, faculty, staff, and students. And everybody attacked us. The New York Times, they said we were going to cause an epidemic. And what we've done is we've protected our students from the few cases that are in the local community. And I'm proud of that. And none of our folks have gotten it. The construction companies working on campus, a couple of those from out of town had it, but they're isolated from the rest of the campus by fences. So we're in good shape, and we did everything right, but yet we got chastised by the media.
Mm. Well, it's a great column, Jerry, and it's of course a great university. By the way, one of our weekend hosts, she's a school teacher at one of the Christian schools, First Assembly Church here in Memphis, and she's getting her doctorate online through Liberty University.
That's great. I hear that everywhere. Our enrollment for next year in the online program is up 10% over the same day last year, and so it's exploding, and it just seems like the more we take a stand for what we believe, the more people we attract. And that's just the lesson, I think, to all the ones that are moving the other way. They're losing membership.
Yeah, yeah.
And I admire our president. You know, he's a little bit of a germaphobe, and so it's been hard for him to to deal with this more than most people, but he's done a fantastic job, and he's done what he's had to do, but I think he really wants to see it all open up, and I think the governors are going to go ahead and make the move, and I really hope they do, because it's and the ones that don't, like I said, I hope they pay the price.
Jerry, we're going to have to leave it there. Always good to have you on the show.
No, Todd, always great to be with you. Anytime, you just let me know.
All right, Jerry Falwell Jr., ladies and gentlemen, president of Liberty University, and it really is a terrific school. We're honored to partner with them. They're really reshaping America, and the young people graduating from Liberty University are making such a difference in this nation. It is so refreshing, and which is one of the reasons we are partners with Liberty and Truett McConnell University, two great, great schools. All right, folks, we've got to take a break. When we come back, I want to say something about my good friends Diamond and Silk, and I'll probably say more about this tomorrow. 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Good friends Diamond and Silk, they were in the headlines yesterday, and they were trending on Twitter for a good chunk of the afternoon. Diamond and Silk have been longtime friends of this program, and they have been my personal friends for several years now. And I can't say enough great things about these two ladies from North Carolina, by the way. So you know they're good people anyway. Just by the fact that they're from North Carolina. But the Daily Beast is reporting that Diamond and Silk have been booted from Fox News Channel. The channel, to my knowledge, has not commented publicly about this, but there are sources inside the building allegedly speaking to the Daily Beast. And the ladies came under fire because of some of the comments they have made about the virus, and quite frankly, because of their support for the president. And I'm not going to talk about Fox News because, you know, I had a great, you know, out of my 15 years there, I had a great 13 years. It was an incredibly wonderful experience. It was life-changing. And honestly, the only reason I'm sitting behind this microphone is because of the great work we were able to do at the Fox News corner of the world. But I do want to say something about Diamond and Silk. And I said something very similar when my good friend Trish Regan, also another conservative, left the network, is no longer at the network. And it's real easy when something like that happens. How do you you learn who your friends are? You know what I mean? You know, there are, I tell young journalists when they, and I, whenever we would have an intern or a young journalist come to work at Fox, I would always tell them to be very careful. They needed to understand who their friends were and who those people that were friends with their job were. And they're two very different groups of people. Do you follow what I'm saying here? There are people that are going to be your friends because that's who they are. They enjoy your company. They enjoy being around you. And then there are those people who love your actual position and the doors that your position opens up. And you learn pretty quickly who those friends are and who your real friends are. And that normally happens the day that you get booted out of the door. So the easy thing for me to do is to say nothing. I mean, that is the easy thing, right? You don't get any blowback if you don't say anything. But, you know, it's always been my policy, and this was my policy when I was at Fox and before I came to the network, is to stand by my friends. And so I want to do that. I stand by Trish Regan. I stand by Diamond and Silk. I think they're all three incredibly gifted, powerful women. and their voice deserves to be heard, and their voice will be heard. And you need to understand that Diamond and Silk, they were brand names before they ever walked through the front doors at 1211 6th Avenue. They had a massive following on social media, and they still do. And I suspect when the moment is appropriate, we will they will be coming back on this program. We reached out to them and invited them to come on the show, but I'm fairly certain they cannot because of whatever rules and regulations. But look, again, Fox, you know, Fox can hire, they can fire whoever they want to. That's their shop. They get to make those decisions. But here on this radio program, I get to make the decisions. I get to decide who comes onto this program. And I can tell you something. We are going to stand alongside our fellow conservatives. I want you to hear me loud and clear. We're not throwing anybody under the bus. We don't do that here. And if you are my friend, then you are my friend. It doesn't matter if you work at Fox News or you don't work at Fox News. That doesn't matter to me. And it's sad to say, because in this business, and especially in the conservative business, people are very quick to throw you under the bus. I was very fortunate because when I left Fox News, I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, you see people, they leave Fox and you never hear from them again. It's like they fell into a hole or they got lost in a cave somewhere. And that's because their identity is wrapped up in and where they were at and what they were doing at that place. But I didn't do that. You know, I had a life outside of Fox, and I have to tell you something. People ask me, do you miss going into Fox News? You know, I do. And I'll tell you why, because the last 6 months, we were finally able to move into very nice, beautiful, modern offices. I mean, it was very nice. I kind of miss the office. But yeah, I miss the people too. I worked with some incredible people at Fox Nation and Fox News Channel and Fox Business and FoxNews.com. Worked with some incredible individuals there. So many gifted, talented people. And yeah, you do miss that. But honestly, the good book says this. In the Old Testament, there is a time and a season for everything. And, you know, my season at Fox News after 15 years, it came and gone. It was gone. It's time for a new season. And here we are building a new life, building a new company in Memphis, Tennessee. And we're still going to be reaching the entire country. But instead of doing it from Brooklyn, New York, we're going to be doing it from Memphis, Tennessee. And I suspect that Diamond and Silk are going to discover, just as I discovered, that their reach is still mighty. They still have a massive following, and it's only going to grow. Do you know what's happened, folks, to our website, toddstarns.com? This is fascinating. When we left Fox, about 500,000 people a month were on our page. You know what our numbers are right now? Over 4 million people. 4 million people. That says a lot about you guys, because you're not fair weather friends either. So, do yourself a favor. Do Diamond and Silk. Would you say a prayer? Just say a prayer for Diamond and Silk as they're going through this new season. This is the Todd Stern Show. The Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. Our website is toddstearns.com, and all sorts of great news and information for you to check out there. Just want to say thank you, by the way. More than 4 million people have been on our website this month. This is an all-time high for us, and it's because of you guys. So thank you very much, and we're mighty thankful that you like to hang out with us over at toddstearns.com. All right, we had a story up over the weekend about the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, using the coronavirus emergency to declare war on the Second Amendment. And the mayor in Jackson, who is a Democrat, by the way, has decided that they are going to put a temporary ban on open carry. This is a direct assault on the Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen. All of you folks listening to us on KWAM, the Mighty 990 in Memphis, Tennessee, you should be very alarmed at what's happening way south of you right now. On the Newsmaker line is State Representative Dana Criswell from Olive Branch, Mississippi, not too far from Memphis, and Aaron Rice, the director of the Mississippi Justice Institute. Welcome both of you to the program.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me, and welcome to the Memphis area and North Mississippi area.
Well, it's an honor
to be.
Hey,
Todd, thanks for having us.
Absolutely, Aaron. And Representative Criswell, it's really fun to be here, if nothing else, to see Congressman Steve Cohen get triggered. So he's not a big fan of the conservatives. Let's get to this, gentlemen. Representative Criswell, tell me the concerns you had initially about the mayor's decision.
Well, all of this happened this past Saturday. I had a friend of mine contact me, another representative, and say, hey, have you seen this? Because he knew that I was planning to go down to Jackson this week at some point. And he also knew that I'm a Second Amendment guy. I carry a firearm. And so he's like, you need to look at this because you may not want to go or you're going to end up in jail. So that's kind of where it started with me. And I watched the mayor's YouTube video, and I was just shocked that any mayor, even a Democrat, somebody who is a Bernie supporter or in any political bent, would go as far as he did to think that he had the ability to overrule what is clearly in the state constitution that gives me and all the citizens a right to carry a firearm openly.
So I want to go to you, Aaron. You are the director of the Mississippi Justice Institute. What concerns you about the mayor's decision?
Well, thanks, Todd, and several things do. I mean, we've seen some of these overreaching executive orders around the nation. And so this is kind of in line with that. I think we need to be on guard against those kind of overreaches all around. But specifically in this case, it is an assault directly on the Second Amendment, directly on the Mississippi Constitution, which clearly protects the open carry of firearms in public for self-defense. And it also violates Mississippi statutory law in several ways. The mayor's authority is laid out very clearly. He cannot go outside of that authority, and he's chosen to do so here. So the mayor is just acting very unlawfully, very unconstitutionally. I think he knows that. And he's chosen to use a serious pandemic as an opportunity to grandstand, rather than dealing with the crisis we're in. And so I think it's very concerning all around. We are very happy to represent Representative Criswell in this lawsuit.
You know, Representative, when you look nationwide at what's been happening, by and large, Democrats in positions of elected leadership are using those positions to crack down on civil liberties. And we even saw that in Greenville, Mississippi, a couple of weeks ago, where the mayor there, a defiant mayor, issued fines against those church members and only backed away when the Attorney General of the United States threatened to file a lawsuit.
Yeah, it really makes me angry when I see politicians around the nation, but especially here in Mississippi, when they use this situation where citizens now, they're concerned and they're trying their best to change their lifestyle into a way that keeps everybody safe. And then when you see a politician take advantage of the goodwill of the people and use that against them as a way to promote some political agenda, to limit rights and freedoms, it really makes me angry. My wife gets a lot of talk and a lot of lectures from me because I get so mad at watching a politician take advantage of people like this.
And Aaron, in the case of the mayor of Jackson, he says, well, you know, we have an epidemic of gun violence, and that's why we're doing this. And he basically, you know, put it on the gun owners that if you stand in his way, then you're advocating for the slaughter. You know, how many more children have to die because you have the right to open carry?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Todd. And what you got to understand here is that Mayor Lumumba, a long-standing opponent of open carry and gun rights in general. And he's made that very clear. He's attacked open carry for years. Jackson has a high crime rate. And you know, what it looks like to me is that he's looking for a scapegoat, somebody else to blame for that crime rate. And so he has felt this way for a long time. He doesn't really even attempt in any serious manner in this executive order or in his public statements about the executive order link, you know, any gun crime that has happened either to open carry or to this pandemic. So, I mean, legally speaking, this just does not pass any level of constitutional muster. I mean, his authority, you know, during a pandemic, assuming he even had statutory authority, his constitutional authority would not allow him to pass an arbitrary law that had nothing to do with the pandemic.
You know, I want to give you the last word here, Mr. Representative. When you, again, we're talking about Mississippi, where guns, you know, God and guns, it's, you know, I mean, you would think that everybody's open carry in the state of Mississippi, and yet it's not happening in a liberal state. It's happening in Mississippi, and it's a reminder, I suppose, that elections do have consequences.
Yeah, so many people I hear so often in Mississippi that say, oh, we're safe. We don't have to worry about that. We're Mississippi, and we believe in gun rights. And the truth is that so many of our politicians, even on the Democrat side, run based on what they say is a pro-gun stand. But if we look closely and a little more carefully at the actions that they take, you know, they don't really believe that. And that's what I want to hold accountable, that politicians that run on one thing or say something, they all say, I believe in the Second Amendment, but. And that's what I want to do. I want to shine a light on these guys and hold them accountable to the people of this state, because the people in this state believe in our rights of self-defense and the carry of firearm.
Well, gentlemen, I just want to make this promise to you as the owner of KWAM, the Mighty 990. We cover most of northern Mississippi, and we want to be sure to open up our radio station for the issues that are important to you guys at Mississippi Justice Institute. And, of course, Representative Criswell, you know, issues regarding the state of Mississippi. And we want to be a great resource for you guys as you're getting the message out there.
I appreciate that. I would love to come up and visit and to get to know you a little bit better. I think there's a lot of really good things we could do to get the conservative message out.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Todd. And I'd just like to tell your listeners, too, of course, Mississippi Justice Institute is a nonprofit, and we rely on donors to fund the kind of work that we're doing here. So if anybody is interested in this case or other cases we handle, msjustice.org, they can donate there.
All right. And we'll post a link to that on our website, toddstearns.com. Guys, best of luck to you, and keep us updated on how this lawsuit's progressing.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. State Representative Dana Criswell from Olive Branch, Mississippi. Aaron Rice is the director of the Mississippi Justice Institute. Folks, this is a big, big deal for all of you across the country, because let me tell you something. If a Democrat in Jackson, Mississippi can outlaw open carry, you better believe that a Democrat lawmaker in any other part of the country will do the exact same thing, and they will use the emergency orders to implement these unconstitutional policies. So that's why we want to bring these stories to you that you may not necessarily hear about in the mainstream media. All right, we've got to take a break. We're going to open up the phones here, 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
You're listening to Todd Stearns.
This YouTube video that Jerry Falwell Jr. was talking about from these two doctors, and they run an urgent care facility in Bakersfield, California. The video went viral, 5.4 million views. And the doctors were on Laura Ingraham's show last night. It's a fascinating interview. And I asked Kalo to pull this audio. I want you to listen to what happened last night on Laura Ingraham's show.
All right, joining me now exclusively are the owners of Accelerated Urgent Care in Bakersfield, California. Dr. Dan Erickson and Dr. Artin Masihi. Dr. Erickson, it's great to see you. Thank you both for being here tonight.
Thank you.
A lot of the focus on reopening has been on the economics, but you say that even from a public health perspective, we don't need to be shut in again, especially in California with what we know about the COVID-19 there. Please explain.
Well, I think that what I've been studying over the last 5 days is herd immunity. And I've looked to world leaders, specifically Dr. Johan Giesecke and Dr. Anders Tegnell. These gentlemen are from Sweden. And Sweden, as you know, has taken an approach where people are allowed to move about. Children under 16 are in school, and they haven't done a lockdown. They've done some basic social distancing. And Dr. Giesecke just finished doing a report where he said there's really not a lot of science backing these techniques. So he said we use things like hand washing, a little bit of social distancing, because those work. And if you look at their numbers, 200 deaths per million compared to ours, about the same. Italy's 400 per million, and Spain is about 400 per million. So we're looking at this going, okay, they took a completely different approach, and their results are basically the same. So how do you get to herd immunity? You do it by the virus spreading throughout the community. Once it hits 70 or 80%, the virus has nowhere else to go, and it burns out. So you can do it that way, or you can get a vaccine. But as you know, we have a vaccine for flu. Every year, we watch the flu come in, and it causes about 60,000 deaths. In 2017, about 45 million cases, and we have a vaccine. However, per the CDC website, this vaccine is often doesn't match the virus very well. And so it, per their website, as I was reading today, it has little or no effect. So I think the key is a vaccine helps you get to herd immunity, but it also you can get to herd immunity without a vaccine.
Yeah, and well, we don't know. We don't know. What I asked Dr. Fauci a couple weeks ago was, you know, well, how do we know we're going to have a vaccine? We never had a vaccine for SARS. It got close, but then it burned out. And then, you know, this the vaccine for the flu is about 55%, 50 to 55% shows effectiveness. I think it does have some effectiveness. Can't say it doesn't have any effectiveness. I don't think that's correct. However, Dr. Masihi, now everybody's holding out New Zealand. Look at New Zealand. New Zealand basically did a really strict lockdown, and they've essentially declared the virus defeated. They've basically contained the virus. So now everybody's thinking America can, I guess, go to New Zealand and everyone go back to their homes and don't go to the beaches in California.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for having us. I think one thing worth noting is that we think President Trump did a really good job stopping travel from China as early as he did. And we also think the Newsom administration is doing a great job with what they've done in California to stop the progression and increase in numbers of disease since April 9th. As you know, there's been a downslope of disease. I think the problem with social isolation is how do you get out of it? I think when the virus originally appeared, there was a lot of fear. This is a new virus. It's a mutated version of a coronavirus, and it was deadly. It was killing people, and we were scared. And I think Dr. Fauci was brilliant in instituting these social isolation measures.
Well, when you talk, Dr. Erickson, I'm going to get to you. I appreciate that. The executive director of the Committee to Protect Medicare, Dr. Rob Davidson, he has been tweeting up a storm about your videos and has an issue with your analysis. He said, considering that 109,000 COVID-19 patients have recovered and 55,000 died out of nearly 1 million cases, how can they extrapolate to larger population without knowing the outcomes of the other 835,000? Their statistical method, simple division and multiplication, doesn't quite cut it. How do you respond, sure. Dr. Erickson?
Let's look at Stanford's data. I go to the Stanford study and I say, They were predicting, the health department in Santa Clara County predicted 956 positive cases. That's what they had reported. Well, when Stanford did antibody testing out of 3,300 randomized people, they found 2.5 to 4.16% of the population was indeed positive. That means 45 to 80,000 people were positive with COVID, which is 50 times what was reported in their public health department. So what were, and my data is that I just did 6,000 swabs. I had 413 positives, which was 7% of Kern County. My initial data was not randomized. My second data in the last 3 weeks is randomized. So what we're seeing is between 4 and 7% of two different counties, Santa Clara County, 2 million, Kern County, 1 million, each of our prospective data showed 4 to 7%. If you extrapolate that out to different counties in California, you're going to have a couple million cases and 1,700 deaths. I realize that Kern County is different than LA. And that's why when we're talking about opening up America, our approach would be to take Kern County, get the school systems going, and see how the disease progresses. Move slowly, open up the restaurant, see how it progresses. Kind of a stepwise approach down the ladder to get us back to open up the country.
Okay, well, I want to jump in here. And there's more to the interview. We'll play more of it tomorrow. And we're actually working to get the doctors on our show this week. And we'll keep you posted on that. But this is very important because these doctors are now coming under fierce attack. As a matter of fact, any medical worker, any medical professional who dares say anything that goes against the narrative is crucified in the mainstream media. As a matter of fact, I've actually heard this phrase, well, they're just urgent care workers. What do they know? You know what? These guys are medical professionals. They're doctors, ladies and gentlemen. And they're trying to tell us that what we are being told and the narrative about this virus is not, in fact, a reality. And it bears hearing them out. We are on the verge of a Great Depression, ladies and gentlemen. And for what? And for what? Well, the doctors are telling us, the medical experts at the CDC and the World Health Organization are telling us that if we dare leave our homes, if we dare to open up our businesses, there will be some sort of a great calamity. So let's see what happens here. We're going to play the rest of this interview tomorrow on the show, and we're going to talk to some medical experts, including Dr. Manny Seffi from the great state of Tennessee, Vanderbilt University, and we'll get his observations. But we're going to talk about all sides of the story. That's what we do here on this program. Hey, look, it's been a lot of fun. Great calls today, folks. ToddStearns.com. Be sure to check that out. All sorts of great stories for you. ToddStearns.com. Get out there. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow.